Today I'm going to talk about Hagar again. Talked about her a couple, maybe a month or so ago, longer than that, in the Theophany. Thank you, Angela, for anticipating my question I haven't asked yet. If you want a study note, raise your hand so she can give one to you. Now, first of all, I want to note that last week's message where I was talking about Joshua and about the pitchers that were busted, it was kindly pointed out to me that that was not in that particular story. It was actually a couple chapters down the road. Same overall story, but not the exact story. So I apologize. Good to know people know the scripture and keep us humble. Okay, that's good. Hagar, a mother's tears. A mother's tears. They fill buckets, don't they? And then you empty the bucket and it starts up again. I told a lady years ago, I think we were actually at Banfield a couple years ago, and she had lost her mother was what it was a couple months prior. And she just couldn't quit crying. She was just obviously in distress. And I said, well, I see that as watering the garden of your future. And immediately her whole face changed. She said, oh, that makes sense. I said, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed of your tears. They're God's watering, Mark. Now, I didn't list this as a theophany, just so you know, because the word theophany means for God to descend. This is the angel of God that's in the story, but he does not descend. He speaks from heaven. So that's why I didn't cite it as a theophany. So I'm very, very careful to make sure that things are correct in the scripture as much as possible. So, but Hagar, how'd you like to have a return trip? Hagar, she's kicked out in the first place. Remember that story? Where she's impregnated by Abraham, and then she turns against her mistress, and then she gets kicked out. But God meets her in the wilderness. Don't you love the fact that God travels well? I'm telling you. He knows where we are. And he knew where she was. And here she is again. And she's kicked out again. She's got to think, do I have a sign on my forehead? What's wrong? Why do I keep getting kicked out? Well, how many know that often God can only touch us at our point of need where we're empty? Sometimes he has to wait until we have no reserve ourselves. That's why if you're an extremely gifted, spiritually alert person, God seems to take a little bit more time to make sure you know and I know that it's God, not you. But here we are in Genesis. Another wonderful portion of scripture in 21st chapter, 9 to 21. And I will read it. I'd have you stand, but you've already stood. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, and by the way, God there is Elohim, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And I will make the son of the handmaid of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. And early in the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. And he set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. And she went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. And when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went off and sat down nearby about a bowshot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. I'm sure a lot of the sobbing that the ladies that were up here just a minute ago have experienced. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Once again, the mother is doing the work, okay? But mother's work is never done. I've heard that. So what's the joke all about in this story? First of all, they already have a history, remember? So Sarah and Hagar already have had differences. And here, Sarah is just furious that Ishmael, which is the son born to Hagar, was mocking her son. The word mock in the Hebrew, tzakak, means to mock, to laugh, and to make sport of. How would you like it if somebody made fun of you? Oh, they still do. Okay. But it's no fun. And keep this in mind. This is important to the story. Isaac's name means laughter. Remember when God told Sarah and Abraham, "You'll have a child"? And she just sat and laughed. She thought it was hilarious. Yeah, right. Like, I might have a kid. I'm like 120. No, she was 90. So this name, when he's mocking, it really fits into the name of Isaac. And it bothers his mother. How many have ever been, remember when you were in school and they used to rhyme your name and laugh at you? Imagine the trauma I had. Everything rhymes with Gene. I won't tell you what my family sings. But some of these things are very, very difficult. And they really set a precipice in a life. And they turn out really feeling like they're picked on. But Sarah was furious because her son was the son of promise. And she was very upset. But a mother's going to stand up for her child, right? For the most part. Except for mine, who used to tell me to go play in front of some nice, friendly cars. But I never took her up on that, because I never met a friendly car. So I never did that. But nonetheless, she was furious. Now, remember, everything in life builds on top of things. Is it possible that Sarah, she was very upset that Ishmael was mocking her son? Could she also have been thinking about when she was laughing about God's promise? And this reminded her of that. Do you know some of the greatest things that will aggravate you about other people? If you sat down and thought about them, it's things that are in your life. They mirror our life. And God allows those things to come so we learn, so we go, "Oh, huh, I guess I'm like that. And I need to change that." So I believe that's part of what happened here. There's a mirror going on. And Sarah was very unhappy. So what's the punchline in this joke? The punchline is that someone's going to get punched out. And she's going to get kicked out. She's going to pack a punch here. Hagar is going to be cast out. The Hebrew word garash means to drive out and cast out. It's not just a little, "Would you leave, please?" It's kind of like a bouncer. It's the same Hebrew word when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. That's a pretty powerful word. Because guess what? They didn't get a remittance coming back to the garden. They were cast out. But I'm glad in the overall view of the scripture, even when there's an eviction like that, it doesn't mean it's forever if you come under the grace of God. How many are glad the Lord gives you a way back? Everyone here should be grateful. Absolutely. Even Abraham is distressed, because you know when there's a problem in families, everyone around can feel it. I don't care if they're not honest about it, but you can tell when there's a pull and when there's some kind of conflict. We can all tell. He was distressed. The Hebrew word ra'ah means to be distressed, afflicted for evil or bad. It's a negative connotation here. To be affected by this particular feeling. Well, it was his son. Of course he's upset. You find that in families where there are multiple relationships. Who do you side with? You feel like you're pulled. And that's what Abraham is feeling. But God tells him, don't be grieved. Excuse me? What do you mean, don't be grieved? It's like when we were kids and Jan smashed her thumb in our dad's truck, and he looked at her and said, honey, that hurts me more than it hurts you. And I sat there and I thought, no, it don't. How can you say that? But I understand now what he meant. He meant I would rather take that assault. At the time, I thought it was a very interesting comment. But God tells him, do not be grieved here. And you know what that means? Anger, grief, pain is a choice. Do you know that? How many have ever said, I just had to get mad? No, you don't. Anger is a choice. It's not even an emotion, it's a choice. The emotion is the depression that hits you afterwards. Because if you're going to operate under anger, your system is going to be depressed. It's going to depress you down. It's going to deflate your spirit. How many have ever, I won't ask you to raise hands, but you've dealt with depression. You know what it is. It flattens your hope. It gets on top of you. Anger's a choice. What's a better choice? Forgiveness. That's also a choice. It's not a feeling. Grace agrees with me, you know. She knows already. Isaac is promised to Abraham as his offspring, his promise, his son of the promise. God is saying, you know why you can give this up? You know why you don't have to be distressed? Because I have a future for your son. In fact, I have a future for both of them. Do you know why we don't have to try to pay our own price? Why we don't have to go after other people? Why we can let things stay in the hands of God? Because he's going to take care of everything that concerns us. If we get in the way of it, it will inhibit him doing what he wants to do. And so he says, you're going to be my offspring. You know, in the scripture, it talks a lot about the inheritance right, and that it's the eldest. See, I knew I was hosed because I was the youngest. I knew that years ago. But how many times in the Bible, the very people that God has put in here as the promise, they're not the oldest. I love that. I just love it. Abel was not the oldest. Jacob was not the oldest. David was not the oldest. Isaac was not the oldest. Ishmael was. How many are glad the promise of God is not in alignment with numbers? It's in the heart of God. That's where it belongs. I'm always glad about that. The word offspring in the Hebrew zera means to sow, a sowing, a seed, and an offspring. And it is something that grows. A seed grows, right? That's the intention here. He's going to be a mighty nation. Both of them are, but in this case, it's Isaac. I am going to speak through him. And he's going to be a great nation. The Hebrew word ga'ah means a nation and a people. And it comes from an interesting word, gav, which means the back. Now, we hear this phrase a lot in today's world. I've got your back. Have you heard that? God has our back. He literally does. And you know why? Because as I've mentioned before, the armor of God doesn't have a back piece. The only one that can protect you behind you is God. Keep following him. He'll protect you. He'll make a future. He gives his promise and he means it. It's not based on our placement in the family. It's based in God's heart and his love for us. So there's a future here for Isaac. There's also a future for Ishmael. Thank God. Now remember in the story, Abraham sends them away with bread and water because they need sustenance. And the Bible said they're wandering. She's wandering with her son. How scary. Once again, she's wandering. The Hebrew word here, ta'a, means to err and to wander. How many know that if you've been rejected in society or rejected by family or rejected in a job or a situation, you know what that does to you? It gives you a wandering spirit. You keep trying to find a place where you're accepted. How many know we're accepted in Christ? That's the foundation of our life. And if we're seeking it anywhere else, it's not going to be a firm foundation. That is the place we get strong. And then we can go through with whatever life has in front of us. And they're going toward Beersheba, which is a place of water. The word means springs and fountain. Do you remember Hagar the last time? She was by springs. That's why I love the name Living Springs. It's a place of power. It's a place of healing. It's a place of sustenance. It's a place of resource. And you know, we talked about the springs. Water comes up through the cracks in the grounds. The very cracks and the very problems that we've had in life, those are the entrance points for the power of God to come through when the Lord punctures it. And we allow him to do that. Man, gushes of water will come forth. It says here, Beersheba, the name is in two words. Beer means not what we drink. It means well or pit. And Sheba means seven, so seven wells. There's a lot of resource here. But her heart is still breaking. Because the water that Abraham gave is now gone. And there's a point in all of our Christian life, I can guarantee you, where the sustenance that people have given, life gives, even God gives at that time, will come to an end because we have to depend upon the sovereign touch of God. How many have ever been in a place and you said, Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't getting done? I mean, absolutely. And that's what's happening here. The water she had was done. So she put Ishmael under a bush, under the shrubs, to protect him, I'm sure, in the sun. And because it was hard for her to see him dying, what she thought he was dying. I remember when our cousin was missing for 4 days, and they found her under a shrub, under a bush. I'll tell you, when I read this, I thought, that was a place of healing and strength for her at the time because it protected her. Seemed odd, but at least it wasn't in a hole somewhere. And so Hagar goes back to her normal fleeing position, and she sits a good distance off from her son because she can't bear to see him die. She can't watch it. And it's an archer's distance where you would fling that arrow. She lifted up her voice and wept, and that word baka means to weep and wail. It's not just boo-hoo. I mean, she's crying for the depth of her soul. As the ladies who were up here today have done. And what happens when you exhaust all of your tears? You get dehydrated. Your body gets hard. The organs tighten up. And you have a lot of pain. Here, Hagar has no resource. And her own body is going to fail her because the tears, that's like Jesus in Gethsemane. The blood is flowing. The water is flowing from his tears, and his body is tightening up. Place of dryness. But guess what? God hears the voice of the boy. Doesn't even say he heard Hagar's voice, although I know he did because he has perfect hearing. He hears the voice of the boy. You know what that means? There's life. And even if you squawk it out, God knows your voice is there. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter any of that. And by the way, for those of you that love to study this stuff, it does not say the angel of the Lord. It says the angel of Elohim in the original. It's still God. It is the Creator God who is speaking here. Who but the Creator can take death and make life? Who but the Creator can take no water and create water out of nothing? It is the miracle working of God. And that great word, miracle, not in your study, but I've talked about it, the maker's mark. That's how you know God has touched, because the maker's mark is the miracle. And so God hears the voice of the boy. And this word for boy, nah, means a boy or a lad. It's somewhere in the younger years. That's why it was so wonderful at the baptism. I mean, it was all wonderful, every voice, every declarative statement. But the young girls, Ariana and Madeline, coming up to state their claim for Christ. Fabulous. I love it. And I said before, this was not a theophany because the angel did not come down in the physical presence. He spoke from heaven. Jesus is interceding in heaven today for us. That's his work as the high priest. So he is still speaking. The last voice is the voice of the Son. But how many remember even at the Garden Tomb where Mary Magdalene sees him and can't visibly accept who he is because she thinks he's dead, of course. She's not looking for a living person. How does she know him? By the voice. He says, Mary. She knows it intrinsically. She knows it emotionally. She knows that voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. I got news for everybody. We need to get to know the voice of the Master, because there's a lot of voices out there, and they're going to get more confusing, and they're going to get louder. We need to know that gentle voice of the Master. That wasn't even in my notes, but it's important. Okay. And then, this is the great part. The Lord who can create newness out of deadness says this, arise, lift up your boy. She didn't even want to look on him. How is she going to want to go and touch him? He says, rise up, first of all. This Hebrew word kum means to arise, stand up, and stand. There's a moment in your life and a moment in my life where we've got to stand when God tells us to stand. You've been seated, maybe you've been crouched, maybe you've been in this kind of posture, kind of fighting, or just retreating emotionally. We all know how that goes. Time to stand up. He says, go stand up. And then go lift him up. And this word, NASA, I love this one. I'll always love it. Same thing like the astronauts. When you take that shuttle up and you see all the power underneath that, it's just fantastic. You know, it takes the power of God to raise us up. Did you know that? When you don't feel like it, or even sometimes when you do feel like it, but in particularly when you don't, it takes the power of God to be able to make us stand. Scott was talking about it when you're sharing in evangelism. I will tell you one thing, that's the time where the enemy really perks up, because he don't want you saved, but I can guarantee you he don't want you to tell other people. So he's going to stick his nose in. Yeah, well, just pour the blood all over it and he'll be, ouch. He won't like that. The angel says, rise up and lift up that boy. That's obedience, folks, whether you feel like it or not. When God tells you to do something, you do it, no matter how you feel. Many a day I've talked to different folks who said, I just don't feel like it, and I always know God's going to do something. Because we can never judge it on our feelings. Then he goes on to say, and this is fabulous, because in the 19th verse, the angel opens her eyes to see something that she hasn't seen yet. Why? Because she's been focusing on her sorrow. And when you're focusing on your sorrow, you're focusing on the problem, or you're focusing on the conflict, you can't see what God's put right in front of you. And God put a well right in front of her. She didn't see it until the Lord opened her eyes. How many want the Lord to open your eyes to what he's already put in front of you? I'm telling you, just like the ram, it was already there. And in the right moment, when we stand up and do what God tells us to do, he will show us. She had not seen this before. Pakak means to open and reveal. And once again, it's water. It's a wonderful well of water. So now she'll have hope that her son will live because he'll get sustenance. God will reveal resource when we quit looking at the pain and begin to look at the gain and look at the source, who is the Lord. Then it's interesting to me in the story because it says that Ishmael is going to become an archer. Now, why is that significant? Because remember when she was sitting there and she didn't want to see her son? Bible says she was about a bowman's length away, an archer's length away. When they would have flung that arrow, that's the space away she was from her son. And in the future, he's going to be a bowman. He's going to be an archer. And every time he flings it, he's going to remember God was right there. It looked like God was so far away, but God was right there in listening distance. There's a reason God uses all of these stories, because God's going to take distance and he's going to bring a connection. And if you, in any part of your life, are inhibited by any pain, any kind of situation, it will give you distance between the people you care about and between you and the Lord. And the Lord wants to do what? He wants to take care of that. God can still hear us, thank God. He heard the boy's cries and his whimpers when he was probably getting weaker and weaker as he went along. How many are glad God hears tears? He hears them. He hears a cry. And the best part is, he's the one to fill the need. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a minute, then we'll sing the final song. Heavenly Father, we are just extraordinarily grateful today that whatever propels us into life and into circumstance, you are aware of all of it. And you knew that Hagar was going to be back in the same spot, fleeing for her life, feeling all alone, rejected, with no hope. And she's sitting out there watching her son die. But God, you're the God of the resurrection. It was the water that you revealed to her that brought life. And I pray today for everyone within the sound of my voice. Perhaps that feels that there's no water, there's no life in their future. Things are surrounding them. They feel pressed in. God, help us to stand up for you. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Help us to lift up through the power and the resurrection of Christ and to go forward, because you'll reveal the resource you've already prepared. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. You are extraordinary beyond our understanding. I thank you, Lord God, for every life. Bless, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we sing the final song, if the Lord moves you to come up and just say, Lord, I want to stand for you. I want to stand and lift up. You come up. But in the meantime, everyone stand as we sing. But if you thank you. Father, I pray for each one, Lord, that has come forward. Lord, whatever they need in their life. Lord Jesus, as you pierce through the darkness, as you pierce through the sadness, as you pierce through the uncertainty of whatever it might be, Father, I pray that the gushing of the water of the power of God Almighty would flood each life, Lord, and they would see right in front of them the resource that you have provided already. You've already got the answers, Lord, because you are the answer, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to do eternally in the lives of all of us those things, Lord, that nothing of this earth can fight. Because, Lord, we've decided to stand for you, to lift it up to you, and you will take us forward in your grace and in your mercy. Father, I pray, Lord, your benediction, your blessing upon every mother, upon every life, upon every family. Lord Jesus, may we go knowing that you know exactly where we are, and you show up, Lord, when we think all hope is gone. When Jesus is present, hope lives. Father, bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name.